Good morning. We're glad you're here this morning, especially our visitors. It's so good to see each and every one of you that have chosen to come worship this morning. And I wasn't sure we were going to have a beautiful spring day, but it looks like we're going to get it. And so that's exciting because I want to talk about spring this morning. How many of you actually knew that spring was in the Bible? Very good. It is a part of the truth of God's Word, and that's important because truth is so essential. And speaking of truth, how many of you all have a bulletin? Did you get a bulletin? Okay, on that front page, there's a wonderful article written by your preacher. But autocorrect didn't fix the problem. In fact, I think it created it. We're not sure yet. But anyway, the month that's mentioned there in the first paragraph should not be March. If you all look at that, how many of you caught that? I know one did. Okay, a couple. What month should that be? May. There we go. May 5th, next week. And I'm really excited because the Greers are practicing for next week. Did you all notice that? They got the whole pew filled up and then some. That's exciting. We hope and pray that that will happen with a lot of families, that will see pew after pew filled with family and friends. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that at the end of our assembly this morning. But I do want to get in and talk about spring. So if you have your Bibles, please turn to the Song of Solomon. A song is an interesting thing. Ron did a great job leading us in some wonderful songs, particularly that song, How Great Thou Art. And as you read the words have an emotional effect upon a person. And the Song of Solomon is written to strike emotion, to appeal through things that the people understood and we as readers understand, because it's talking about the beloved. And as you look in verse 10 of the Song of Solomon chapter 2, the words ring out, my beloved. And then it goes, my beloved spoke and said to me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Isn't it wonderful that during spring, couples seem to blossom with each other? That magical word, love, just flows. Smiles, red faces, the glow. Love, beautiful thing. Here we have that picture. My beloved spoke and said to me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, look at verse 12 and 11, For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone, the flowers appear on the earth, the time of singing has come, the voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land. What a beautiful picture. And it, to me, describes spring, doesn't it? When life comes alive, when things are just blossoming, just like love between a young couple who just miraculously are able to stare in each other's eyes and magically sense that connection that they have. Spring is a beautiful time of the year. And we're using this spring to set another attendance goal next week. And I put here on this slide, as you probably noticed from the announcements earlier, 153 souls is the goal. But that's not good, because I think we're going to do better than that. And I know some of you think we're going to do better than that. And from all the work that's being done around here and all the invites that are going out, I believe that will also happen in spring. Things will change. And therefore, let's just change the goal. How many of you believe that this spring, this beautiful time of year, folks can get out, even though it might rain next week, but not on Sunday, because we're praying that doesn't happen. We can have 203 souls. I believe it can happen. And we might be surprised and even go far beyond that. A big tent's going to go up here. It's been reserved. They're supposed to bring a big tent out here, so we're going to have a big space to eat in. And it will seat plenty of folks. Terry is cooking. He's going to talk a little bit more about that a little bit later. But he's preparing. You've been handing out invitations. You've been talking to your friends and family. And, of course, many of you have, if not all of you, praying for the success of our outreach. And what it's about is souls. It's about those lost souls. And so I want to encourage you as we think about spring to think about new life. And that's what this lesson is about when we talk about spring, is how life comes alive. And as you think about spring, winter's gone, isn't it? Winter's passed, thankfully. Brother Harry was ready. He was tired of living in Alaska at our house. He was ready for the warm weather. And he's gone out, Brother Harry has, and sat in the sun enjoying the blessing of spring and knowing that winter's passed. Well, we're going to pray that next week the rain is gone too, but we know, of course, the rain is essential for the growth. And then the flowers will appear. And then it is a time of singing. And next Sunday, I hope to hear 200 plus souls singing together. Because it's a time of rejoicing. When you realize that the Almighty God gives life. And it reads on, and the voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land. How many of you have noticed the birds singing? They know it's spring, don't they? It's just wonderful to sit outside and to listen to the birds, and I hope you have taken the time to do that. And then we read about the plant life coming alive. The fig trees put forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grapes. The fruit is yielding even now. And then note what we have said in this Song of Solomon. Tender grapes, and what do? They give a good smell. Have you stopped to take time this spring to smell the roses? You might be thinking, I don't think there's any roses yet, but the flowers are out, aren't they? And they give a good smell. And it's interesting, in Ecclesiastes, the same writer, Solomon, said, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant. And spring, folks are putting out the gardens, aren't they? And a time to pluck what is planted. And then in Job 29, verse 33, we read these words from God. They waited for me as for the rain. They opened their mouth wide as for the spring rain. Doesn't take much of that reading to understand the suggestion of what's being portrayed in these words that are recorded in Job. The mouth wide as for the spring rain. The plants are soaking that rain up. They're giving life because of the warmth, the sun. And then they produce those things that we can smell and enjoy in the beauty. There was one of our members here in the congregation that just recently climbed a tree so she could take pictures of God's creation from the inside of a tree. Now, I won't mention who that is, but maybe she'll tell you. But the pictures were beautiful. Because it is truly a wonderful time of year with very, very unique views. Brother Jim King took these pictures. And look at this. Spring is alive. The beauty of spring. I often talk about how God colors. And it's a lot better than man can paint. It's beautiful. God's creation is truly alive. And then years ago, women used to take that creation and put on their hats. And I remember as a kid looking at these beautiful hats of spring where folks would get fresh flowers and put in their hat and come to church. And I won't tell you what we did with paper wads publicly. Let me just say this. They would mix real good with a good set of flowers. Beautiful. Hats would exhibit the beauty of the creation. Probably most of y'all remember Minnie Pearl, if you're my age at least. And she had her pretty hat of flowers that she used as a trademark. But I thought what was interesting, this is a picture taken, and hopefully I can blow it up here, maybe not. But this is a picture of a congregation in spring who's gathered together for the photo of the congregation, the group. And you'll notice that they're all wearing hats. And it was a time when those hats exhibited the great creation of God. But there's another aspect of spring that I want to mention briefly with you. As we look at Scripture in 2 Samuel 11:1, We read it happened in the spring of the year, at the time when kings do or go out to battle. One translation, I believe, says go out to do battle. Spring of the year is the time the armies also took advantage of the weather. After winter, they're now able to go out and they're able to go to war with those they've been at war with. Now, that's not something I want to encourage. We don't want to encourage war, of course, but the Bible says that's what happened in spring. And what I want you to note is that that word spring in the literal language of the Hebrew is a word which means a recurrence or that which returns. So they viewed spring as a reoccurring time. And so it was a season that would once again reoccur or return. In 1 Kings 20 and verse 22, the words used, and the prophet came to the king of Israel, said, go strengthen yourself, take note and see what you should do, for in the spring of the year, the king of Syria will come up against you. Why? Because it's the time the kings go out to battle. The reoccurring time of year. Now, for some of us, the reoccurring time of year is not a time of battling someone else. It's a time of battling the elements and looking at the importance of spring cleaning. How many of you have already got your spring cleaning done? I don't see one hand going up. Ron, are you looking for more to do? He's smiling, no. Some of the husbands are going, don't talk about that. Yeah, it's a time of spring cleaning. And good old Martha Stewart, she's been at the center of producing books on how to do it. I haven't read one of them, don't intend to. But we understand it. And then, of course, for us guys, we get the honeydew list, don't we? It's sweet because it comes from the sweet ones. Our wives are so kind to help us out. They help us to create the list about all the painting that needs to be done, the plumbing, the flooring that needs to be repaired, the electrical work, the window and door repair, fence and deck replacement, caulking, and the list goes on, and the list goes on, and the list goes on. I can safely say that I've never completed a list, have you? Probably not. But at least spring is a good time of the year to do it before it gets too hot. But here's what a lot of us guys have on our mind when it comes to the spring list. Like getting out and going camping, canoeing, and of course a little bit of fishing doesn't hurt. And then floating down the river, starting with a canoe and ended up on a log. Some of us like to do that. How many of you have ever floated a river around here and stayed dry the whole time? One person. I'm glad y'all in the same boat I am. Or should I say out of the same boat? It's hard to stay in those boats, but it's still fun. But clearly Scripture tells us that this time of year is a recurring time of year, but significantly with that is that there is a proof. As we see each year this season up here, there is proof of the very existence of the Almighty God. When those flowers come alive, when those butterflies take off, and when the bugs start flying, and the birds of the air go to chirping and singing their songs, what are they telling us? They are telling us this didn't happen by accident. They were created by the Almighty God. In Psalms 89, verse 11, the psalmist said, the heavens are yours, the earth also is yours. The world in all its fullness, you have founded them. How many of you already have stopped and said, wow, look what God has created? Many of you have, because you understand the great power that God has in bringing us those seasons. In Genesis 8, verse 22, we read these words, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. There is that reoccurring motion that God put into motion and gave us the promise after the flood of the earth that they would continue until the time when this earth will find its end, when Christ returns. And when we see this season come alive, what are we seeing? We're seeing the work of the Almighty God. And then I like what's said in Revelation 4, verse 11. You are worthy, O Lord. You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things. And by your will they exist and were created. Folks, that's a verse in the New Testament written for us. And what does it do for us? It tells us who is worthy of the glory, the power, and the honor. It's the Almighty, the real Godhead, Christ Himself, the Father and the Holy Spirit. Christ was there when the world was created. That was put in motion by the Almighty. And by their will, we exist and we're created. But it doesn't take looking at you and I to know that. We just look outside. Those who claim that something came from nothing doesn't give us the answer for a piece of grass. They can't explain the life. They can tell you how it works, how the roots pull up the stuff and it creates the chlorophyll and the green and all that. Now the sunshine is taken in and it continues to grow. They can tell us what's going on. But they can't explain the creation. Other than our God created the world. That song we just sang that Ron led us reads, "When through the woods and forest glades I wander." I hope you've had time to just wander through God's creation this spring already. And as you do, the next verse line goes, "And hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees. When I look down from lofty mountain grandeur and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art! How great thou art! Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art! How great thou art!" When you think about love this time of year, it's just something a little bit mystical and magical, but yet we understand some of it. Some of us have even experienced it. But love is something that finds roots in the heart. When we look at God's creation, we see that which reaches the heart. Notice the words, "Then sings my soul." God's creation touches our lives to the heart. Because we see God alive and God being true to His Word. And the seasons give us proof of the power that rests with Him and in His Word. If you want to turn to Isaiah 55 or look at the screen, we read these words, "For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud," that's spring, "that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater." Then he says in verse 11, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth." These reoccurring seasons gives a surety that God's word is real. And it will live in our lives. Because God says, "It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please. And it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." Randy in class this morning talked about sowing, as we've mentioned in previous lessons. Sowing the seed. We're sowing that which is of God. And what's God promised us? "It shall not return void. It shall accomplish." That's why we go and scatter and scatter and scatter. Because it will prosper. We know this just looking at spring. In the Song of Solomon, verse 13. What happens? The fig tree puts forth green figs. The vines, the tender grapes. And with those buds and the flowers, what comes along? The smell. That smell tells us that God has pushed life into the reoccurring season of spring. And He gives us what is essential for our survival. What do we mean by that? Well, David said it well in Psalms 104, verse 14. He causes the grass to grow for the cattle, the vegetation for the service of man, that he may bring forth food from the earth. Anybody going to go eat lunch this afternoon? You might think, as soon as this preacher gets done, Alex says he's going to eat lunch. There we go. Yeah, where's that food come from? What if there were not the reoccurring spring and the work of God? You see, God feeds us. And oftentimes we don't think about that. He feeds us, and that's significant. And this spring is essential for our survival. In Psalms 147, verse 8, the psalmist says, "Who covers the heavens with clouds, who prepares rain for the earth." And then it goes on. "Who makes grass to grow on the mountains, and those cattle eat that grass. He gives to the beast its food and to the young ravens that cry." Life is alive because of what God supplies. We are alive because of what God supplies. In Psalm 65, verse 9, "You visit the earth, you water it, you greatly enrich it. The river of God is full of water. You provide their grain, for so you have prepared it." Who? The Almighty has given. You water its ridges abundantly. You settle its furrows. You make it soft with showers. You bless its growth. Folks, the farmers farm, and they plant the seed, and they raise the crops, they raise the cattle, but who gives it? It's the Almighty. Verse 11, "You crown the year with your goodness, and your paths drip with abundance. They drop on the pastures of the wilderness, the little hills rejoice on every side. The pastures are clothed with flocks, the valleys are covered with grain. They shout for joy, they also sing." Why? Because God has blessed us. He's blessed us with that time we call spring that provides for new life. Winter's past. The flowers appear in the earth. And then verse 12. "The time of singing has come. The voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land." That's life. New life. I'm going to pick on Brother Harry again. He likes to sit and look out the windows, and he's watched a maple tree in our front yard, which happens to be this one right here. He's watched that tree all winter, just waiting for the first bud. And he got pretty excited when that bud appeared. Then we had the ice that came and did some damage to the trees, and he was real concerned about those buds. But he kept watching, and he kept watching. And what happened, Brother Harry? Trees sprang to life. New life. But he was a little bit concerned about some of the damage the tree had during the winter time, that new life would come forth. But it did. You wonder where the birds come from, but they are there. Eggs are being laid now and they're dropping. In Psalms 104, verse 29, "You hide your face, they are troubled. You take away their breath, they die and return to their dust." But then new life, verse 30, "You send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the earth." When we look at spring, that's what we see. God has renewed life once again. And it shows us, as cattle are born, how that which dies can produce life. In Romans 1, it is proof that our God cannot be ignored. In Romans 1, verse 20, people are without excuse. Because of why? Because of seasons like spring and the life that comes. Because in that is His eternal power and divine nature is clearly seen, as Paul writes in Romans 1 and verse 20. And then in verse 18, he warns, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness." And this is prior to what he writes. But then he goes on, verse 21, you drop down there, because although they knew God, here's why they have no excuse. Although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. There are admittedly a number of people in our world, and even in the community that we live in, who do not believe God creates. They do not attribute this new life that we're coming alive to the Almighty. They live in the futile mind of their own thinking, thinking all this stuff came from nothing. Back in the old times, as people even do today, they thought they were wise, but Scripture says, as Paul writes in verse 22, they became fools. And what did they do? They changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed animals, and creeping things. And then what do men do? Tragically, because they don't see God, they exchange the truth of God into a lie. They perverted the truth. While they acknowledge there's something out there that needs to be worshipped, they don't see the one Creator. And so what do? They exchange the truth of God for the lie. And that's what too many people in our world have done. And what did they do because of that? They worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. So whether a person says, I don't even believe in God, or they pervert it to the point they say, well, I'll worship the creation, the result's the same. They're not serving the one and the only true God. And what are they missing? Well, when you read this Bible and you study this Bible, you learn things like Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14, for the love of Christ compels us. That's what they're missing. When they don't see God in this reoccurring spring, they're missing that compelling love that Christ gave to us when He went to that cross and revealed God through the power of the resurrection. Verse 15 says, and He died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died for them and rose again. All things have become new. What are they missing? If they miss that compelling love, they're missing Him who died. They're missing that which is new. What do we mean? Well, let's ask this question. Is it time for spring in your life? You might be thinking, well, Rick, I don't understand. What are you talking about? In spring, out of that which has died springs new life. So what I'm asking you this morning, is it time for new life in your life? What do we mean? Paul gives us an answer, Romans 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? That's no place to live, folks, is it? Sin doesn't work. That's why Paul says, certainly not. How should we who died to sin live any longer in it? God did not design us to live in sin. He designed us to turn from sin. Oh, of course, we're going to sin, but we don't go there and live in it. We don't wallow in that pig pen. We come out. And we have the promise that we have forgiveness in Christ. He goes on in verse 3, he says, or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore, we were buried with Him in baptism into death. Just like the seed falls to the ground, the plant dies, there's still life that's to be had. When we're buried with Christ through baptism into death, Paul writes, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. When we choose to be baptized into Christ, we died to live. We come alive. Just like this little plant is nourished by the ground, the spring reoccurs, and what happens? Life blossoms. Why? Because of the power of the Almighty God. when we go down in that water grave of baptism, there's nothing that we're doing other than submitting in obedience to the truth of the gospel. But God's doing something. Because of Christ's death on the cross, He gave us opportunity to come out new, promising us that our sins have been washed away, and that as we live a Christian life and we keep turning back to Him, even though we might sin, we still have access to that blood that gives life. And that's what God gives us, life. Looking forward to a time when we will have eternal life. One of these days, the reoccurring seasons are going to come to an end. But life will continue with God. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. Is it time for new life for you? If it is, this morning, the plan is simple. If you believe that it was God who created this world, that provides us the reoccurring seasons, and that it was His Son that died on that cross, then this morning, before you leave here, walk away with a new life. If you're willing to say, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and be baptized in the watery grave for remission of sins, you can be new. You can have that new life. And if you need it, don't walk out of this room dead. Because you don't want to be unprepared to meet the Almighty. Because His power is real. You can see it as you look out these doors, these windows, or just look at someone else. Because they are God's creation. Why not be a new creation? As we stand and sing, would you come this morning?